Good morning. As Robin said earlier in the service, we've been working our way through Matthew. We've been really following Jesus as he walked around the land of Israel, following him. Remember, Jesus is God's son, he's God, created the world, God's son created the world, responsible for that, was born into the world, still 100% God, but also now 100% man, and walked this earth. And as we've worked through Matthew, we've followed him. And we've met people along the way that he gathered together or he met, and we've got to know them a little bit. And we've just sort of seen his followers increase as he's walked around on earth. And we're up to Matthew chapter 20, so we're a fair way in it. And this morning we're just going to look at just two verses. But it's a most unusual scene that we find ourselves in at this point. The scene we find is Jesus walking ahead. He's kind of heading towards Jerusalem. And just before Jerusalem is Jericho. So he's heading up Jericho, then Jerusalem's a little beyond that. So Jesus is walking. Then pretty close behind are the 12 disciples. And then, sort of following up, is a crowd of people. And I think in reading it that these are followers of Jesus as well, pretty much. But sort of that's not the unusual part. That happens all the time if you've been with us as we've worked through Matthew. That's not unusual. It's kind of Jesus walking with the 12 disciples and then with a sort of another crowd kind of in amongst them. That's not unusual. But what was unusual about this scene is something that Mark described. He also wrote about this particular scene. And what he described was unusual. It was the demeanour of, and that's in Mark 10:32, it was the demeanour of the people who were following Jesus. That was the unusual thing at this point. He described the looks on the faces and maybe their body language, I don't know, of the 12 disciples who were following them. He described them as, there was sort of an air of puzzlement. They were astonished. Depending on your translation of what written, somebody else has said in their translation of what Mark wrote said, perplexed. Another translation said, amazed, baffled, confused. So that was a little unusual in this scene, that the 12 were following with that kind of look on their faces, kind of wondering. And he also described the crowd that was then following, and they were afraid. They were fearful, overwhelmed with fear. The message said, more than a little afraid. So something was definitely going on here. It wasn't just your usual scene of Jesus heading, then the disciples, and then the crowd. But why? Well, it appeared that Jesus was heading to Jerusalem. And that was what was worrying them. Now again, that wasn't unusual in itself, that Jesus was heading to Jerusalem even. Especially in this particular time, because it was just leading up to Passover, and pretty well the whole nation of Israel, they headed to Jerusalem at this time. It was the done thing. Pretty well everyone did. Headed up to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. But for these guys, and hence their looks, for these guys, the timing could not have been worse to head up to Jerusalem. They they would be thinking, man, we're heading into a perfect storm, not a physical storm. But there had been just increased hostility and hatred directed towards Jesus and his followers. And it was really building at this point from the religious leaders, the chief priests and the leading priests, and also the scribes or the lawyers that were close with them. And these guys were looking for anything that they could get on Jesus and arrest him, and then they wanted him out of the picture. They wanted to kill him. So, and because it was Passover, all these leaders, Jewish leaders, were in Jerusalem. And that's where Jesus appeared to be heading. So they were walking right into their domain. And no wonder these guys were worried and astonished and asking why. And for the crowd that followed, there was pure fear. I guess they were all hoping that, well, maybe he'll stop off in Jericho and not carry on. You know, for them, they were definitely walking into the unknown. So that's kind of the scene that Mark painted. And this brings us now to our verses. So Matthew 20 and verse 17. And first up, Matthew himself sets the scene a little bit. And this is what he says. So verse 17. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. Aha! So we now know Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, but the 12 and the crowd that follows don't yet know. They're just thinking maybe he does. So Matthew carries on. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said, listen, we are going up to Jerusalem. Aha! So now the 12 know that they're heading up to Jerusalem. So their worst fears are confirmed, that Jesus is taking them up there. So the looks on their faces of the 12 must have been amplified in that why? That astonishment. Why is he taking us up there? That puzzlement. He was leading them right into that hotbed of hostility in Jerusalem. They were definitely walking into the unknown, and by all accounts, it wouldn't be pretty. But that hostility and hatred that was centered in Jerusalem toward Jesus was very real in Jesus' mind too. But for him, it wasn't walking into the unknown. For him, it was walking into the known, because he knew exactly what was up ahead for him. So look, as he carried on with a sentence. So he said, listen, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man, and when he refers to the Son of Man, that's Jesus, he's referring to himself, and the Son of Man will be betrayed. So Jesus knew exactly what was up ahead for him in Jerusalem. And it wasn't looking good. He was going to be betrayed by somebody very close to him, by someone who he had poured his life into, by somebody who used to sit next to him at the meal table. It was somebody very close. Judas, he was one of those 12. And he was going to betray Jesus and hand him over to those who were hostile towards him. Now, I don't know if you've been in a position where maybe somebody close to you has betrayed you. Just what a horrible scene that would have been, or something to go through. But that is what was awaiting Jesus in Jerusalem. Somebody very, very close to him, who he poured his life into, was going to betray him in a big way. So Jesus could have avoided that by saying to the boys who had gathered around them, right, no, actually, I've changed my mind. We're not going to Jerusalem. Maybe we'll head to the Dead Sea and muck around in the water for a bit. Now, that would be a real easy option, just simply to avoid that, what was ahead. But no, he was going to Jerusalem, and somebody close to him would betray him, and he knew that, and he was still going. I think I would have pulled out if I knew that, and I definitely would have pulled out if I knew that. I wouldn't have hid there. But Jesus carries on outlining. Not only will he be betrayed, but he will be betrayed to the leading priests, you know, the high priests, those who wanted him dead. So that person who was going to betray him, his close friend, was going to kind of pass him over to those high priests. So it was the worst fear of the 12. Those high priests were the religious elite. They ran the Jewish court system as well. Well, they were the Jewish court system. And they made decisions on behalf of Israel. And they wanted Jesus dead. They were looking for any way, any charges they could lay on him that would convict him with a penalty of death. And Jesus knew what was ahead. I mean, I definitely would have pulled out at this point. No, boys, we're not going to Jerusalem. But Jesus, knowing that, he was still willing to go up to Jerusalem. But not only that, delivered into their hands, Jesus goes on and delivered into the hands of the teachers of the religious law. These guys were lawyers, but not just any lawyers. They were the elite lawyers in the land. They specialised in Jewish law. They were experts in Jewish law. And they had no time for Jesus either, because they worked really closely with the chief priests, with those 200-odd head priests in the land. And they weren't ordained, but they did get alongside them and work together. And Jesus knew that he was going to be handed over to not only those priests, but also to those lawyers as well. And together they would stump up some charges and put him on trial. But maybe during this trial they would find him innocent. Maybe that's why Jesus was heading up to Jerusalem, because it didn't really bother him. Maybe he would be handed over, but maybe he'd be put on trial, but maybe he'd be found not guilty, and then all that tension would die away and he could carry on. But Jesus carries on. They will sentence me to die. So no, he wouldn't be let off in that court. They would sentence him to die. And these were his own people who would do the sentencing. That must have really hurt. But Jesus, even knowing this, he was still heading up to Jerusalem. So it was pretty serious what was up ahead for him. He was definitely walking into the known. And if that's not enough, Jesus carries on. And they will hand him over to the Romans. Wow. They're the ones with the authority to execute somebody. The Jewish, under the Roman law, didn't have that authority. But maybe this was Jesus' way out. Maybe this is why Jesus was still happy to go up there. Maybe they would say, no, I don't I don't see these charges hold any water. I think he's innocent. And maybe they'll find him not guilty and let him go. Maybe that, and all will be okay. But then Jesus goes on. They'll hand him over to be mocked. So no, things weren't going to go too well when he was handed over to the Romans. Let me read Matthew 27 and verse 27, which talks about this. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spat on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. So surely Jesus would not go to Jerusalem now if he knew that was up ahead. But he does. He's going to carry on. And Jesus goes on. Not only would he be mocked, but he'd be flogged with a whip as well. And when you look into that, it certainly is not something you would choose to go through. All accounts, there's the whip, and then it kind of near the end of the whip, it goes into three bits of leather, and there can be metal fragments attached to it, or little bits of rock, or pieces of bone, so that when the person being whipped or lashed is it lacerates the body so much, kind of rips and tears the flesh out. And it was going to happen to him 39 times. Surely now, you know, he would say, "Well, I've changed my mind. You know, I'm not heading up to Jerusalem now." Because he was definitely walking into the known. He knew it had been predicted as well. But he wasn't turning around at this point. He carries on. And it's worse still. And crucified. So there was no way out. And we hardly need to mention, really, what that means for somebody. I guess it's probably one of the most horrific and painful and barbaric, however you want to describe it, way that man has invented for somebody to die. So painful and agonizing was that the Romans who carried out crucifixions, there was a law that said no Roman citizen was allowed to be put to death in this way. You know, they knew that it how horrific it was. If you've seen the Mel Gibson film, you'll get a hint of it as well. And if you chose not to see it, which many people did, because of that nature of it, you'll kind of know as well. And Jesus certainly knew what was ahead, and he chose not to pull out at this point either, knowing that he was still willing to go up to Jerusalem. Yeah, I would have pulled out way back, but no, Jesus was carrying on. Surely he would change his mind, but he said no. So here's a question. Why? He was God's son. He could have blown them all off the face of the earth. Could have, you know, wiped them out, knowing what was ahead. But no, at this point, he was carrying on. And it's pretty humbling, isn't it, to think about the answer. You know, if you just sit there and contemplate that was ahead. It is humbling to think. And it's pretty moving to think what the answer is to that question. Why Jesus was willing to carry on to Jerusalem, where at any point in time he could have pulled out. Simply, you were the reason. And I was the reason that he didn't just pause and then head to the Dead Sea, you know, for some fun. No, he was going to carry on for you and for me. It was the only way that mankind could come back into relationship with God. We were all guilty of doing stuff wrong, not following God's ways. God's called that sin. Sin and God don't mix. And the punishment for that is separation from God, and putting it in black and white, hell. And that was a problem. There's nothing we could have done ourselves to earn our way back to God or to buy our way back to God. A righteous God could only righteously judge, and that was the outcome. But God, as we know, had a solution to that. He would allow his son to come down to earth, be born 100% as a man, or as a baby, as a boy. He would grow, he would walk this earth sinless, and then when he got to Jerusalem, this would happen to him, and he knew this, his father knew this. He would ultimately be put on that cross and die. But in doing so, he was taking the punishment that each one of us deserved. That was all that sin was laid on him, a sinless God. He was doing that for us. And he died. And in doing so, was taking our sin on his shoulders. And then, that then gave an opportunity of a free gift given to us, if we wanted it, of forgiveness. We just had to acknowledge and believe that that's what God's son did. He did that for me. And thank him and take that free gift of forgiveness and then live for him. So isn't it? For you and for me, we were the reason that, one, he left the glory and amazing. He was the centerpiece of heaven, came down to earth, walked, and then knowing that this was what he was walking into. Really humbling to think about that. But Jesus didn't finish there at that point. He had just told them that he'd be crucified, and then he said in a quite matter-of-fact way, but on the third day, he will be raised to life again. Well, how reassuring is that? All was accomplished. And that's exactly what happened. He was crucified on the cross. Then 3 days later, he did come alive again. So all was accomplished that he set out to do. And with that, just that final statement, they headed off to Jericho and then on to Jerusalem. And what he came down to earth to do, to accomplish, to give us the opportunity to come back into a relationship with God was achieved. Isn't that humbling that the creator of this world did that for us? I don't know whether it might have just suddenly struck you this morning what God the Father allowed his son to do and what his son did for you. Maybe it's the first time it's really, really hit home and you'd like to just accept that free gift and say thank you. Maybe I'll pray now, and you might want to follow along. And then, if that's the case, then do just let me know, or let somebody you know you're comfortable with. Hey, I accepted that gift today, and you're part of God's family in heaven or beyond. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for that tremendous gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong that have offended you. And I really want to thank you for your plan to overcome that. I want to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I acknowledge that he did come down to this earth and that he did die for me. I want to say sorry for the things that I've done, and I just want to accept that free gift of forgiveness of sins. And now please help me just to live for you. Amen. Man, if you've done that this morning, your life is completely changed. You're part of God's family. Heavens are going to be your home. There'll still be hassles in life as you walk this earth, but you'll have God alongside you and your brothers and sisters, your extended new family as well, walking along. So maybe if you did ask and accept, let somebody know. Let me know. Let somebody you're comfortable know. Or if you've got more questions, do come up and ask anybody too. Thanks, Robin.